Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive, even during these tough and uncertain times. Hi, and welcome back, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us. It really is. Now, what can you expect during our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, during our radio seminar time, we are going to take a close look at the fifth piece of God's spiritual financial armor, which would be the helmet of salvation. Now, you got to ask yourself, I mean, is there a link between picking up and putting on God's helmet of salvation and rightly handling your personal finances? You bet there is. You'll just have to wait and see, but you bet there is. Then during our Q&A time together, we're going to continue to dig deep into the questions that surround debt and borrowing. And today you're going to discover one of the main reasons both high-income families and lower-income families find themselves in debt. Might be a surprise for you. Stay tuned. And then something new. You will hear our very first shout-out to a local business for going above and beyond what is expected. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. It's going to be a regular part of our program from here on out. And finally, John Maxwell is going to share his thoughts about being teachable, about being coachable, okay? We are in for yet another great minute with Maxwell. So, it's going to be a great fun-filled time today. Lots of information. Stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time with the Lord. And to ensure that that's going to be the case, let me open us up with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for meeting with us again today. Please continue to give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, recall that during our radio seminar segment times together that we've been digging deep into what the Apostle Paul has to teach us about God's spiritual armor, which can be directly applied to our personal financial situation. And we started out, what we saw was that according to the Bible, every financial problem you have or have ever had was actually a symptom. The problem was spiritual. The symptom might have been financial, but the problem was spiritual. And what we learned was that when we deal with the spiritual problem, well, our financial symptoms seem to fly away. And what is one of the best ways to deal with the spiritual problems that lead to financial issues in our life? Well, we need to learn how to pick up and put on God's spiritual armor, starting with His belt of truth, which is the Bible. You see, when you put on God's belt of truth, when you prayerfully determine to make the Bible a priority in your life, well, you are starting to get dressed for financial warfare. But listen, Paul tells us that there's a whole lot more to God's armor than just the Bible. I mean, the Bible is a great starting place, but there is a whole lot more. For example, there is also God's breastplate of righteousness. You see, God, well, He helps prepare you. He helps prepare you for battle with the absolute assurance that you are right with Him because of who you are in Jesus Christ, because you prayed to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. You did that, therefore you are right with God. That is His breastplate of righteousness. Well, then we discovered that you had better not forget to, you know, put on your shoes of peace every morning, every day, right? I mean, and by the way, that is the peace of God. It is not the peace with God. You had peace with God when you prayed and you entered into His family. That's not what we're talking about here. This is the peace of God. This is the peace that surpasses all understanding. This is the peace that gives you great footing to both stand your ground and to advance and take back ground you've previously lost. And then, during our last time together, we talked about the shield of faith. And we saw that just as the Roman soldier's battle shield was attached to his loin belt, well, God's shield of faith needs to be firmly attached to his belt of truth, which again is the written word. It's the Bible. And we found out that we like the Roman soldier, we need to remember to soak our shield. We need to soak ourselves in his word. And we need to consistently ask the Holy Spirit to anoint his word to become better alive and active and well in and through our lives. So, what do we have so far? We have his belt of truth, we have his breastplate of righteousness, his shoes of peace, and his shield of faith. Now, two more quick points. First of all, remember that this is his armor. It is not ours. It belongs to him. And also remember that each piece of his armor is a highly effective offensive and defensive weapon. So what is the next piece of God's armor that Paul describes in the book of Ephesians? It is the helmet of salvation. It is God's helmet of salvation. And as we do, let's first of all take a look at it by continuing to dress our Roman soldier a little bit here. Let's first take a look at the helmet of salvation by taking a look at the helmet and what the helmet was from the Roman soldier's point of view. And as we do that, well, the first thing that we can see is that the Greek word for helmet, well, it describes a piece of armor that would fit tightly around the head. Now, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, no surprise there. But we need to also realize that the Roman soldier's helmet, well, it was very, very noticeable. It was fascinating and beautiful. It was flamboyant, ornate. It was intricate. You see, so many times the appearance, well, it had the appearance of artwork rather than a piece of armor. It had a huge plume of brightly covered feathers or maybe even horsehair standing up from the top of the helmet. Okay? Now, this was how it looked. This is how it looked, but it was also designed to save his life as he stood in defensive posture or as he attacked. It was made of heavy bronze with special armor to protect his cheeks and his jaws. It was heavy, yet it was softly lined. It fit perfectly, and it could not be pierced. Now Paul links the soldier's protective helmet to our salvation. And I find this extremely, extremely interesting. Listen, how so? Well, listen, first of all, I think you would agree with me that your salvation, it's very noticeable. You see, your salvation, well, it has to be the most gorgeous. It's got to be the most intricate, the most elaborate, and the most ornate gift that God has ever given you. You see, it's very noticeable as you walk in confidence of your salvation and in the powerful reality of all that salvation means to you. Okay, so it's noticeable, but listen, God's helmet of salvation protects you from attacks on your mind. Listen, my friend, it is designed to save your spiritual life. How so? Well, to do the work of God and to face the work of the devil without your helmet of salvation, well, that'd be the equivalent of spiritual suicide, wouldn't it? Therefore, what do we need to do? Well, therefore, what we need to do is to have a personal goal, to walk in the full knowledge of your salvation. And how do you do that? Well, you spend time studying what the Bible has to say about things like your healing, your physical, mental, relational, of course, your financial healing. About your deliverance. Study about what the Bible says about your deliverance from evil powers. What the Bible has to say about redemption and its beneficial consequences in your life. My friend, you've got to know that your mind is extremely important. You see, God gave you a brain to use. In 1 Peter 1:13, we are told to gird up the loins of your mind. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means to gather up the loose ends of your mind and get your mind into good shape. How so? Well, you need to spend more time talking to yourself rather than listening to yourself. You need to tell yourself something like, I can remember. Listen, I can remember names, right? I have a fantastic memory. God, I thank you for my mind. Expect it. Act like it. You know, you need to learn how to pray something like, Lord, today I bind the devil from my mind. I declare it set free in Jesus' mighty name. Now remember, your mind needs to be exercised and it needs to be developed. That's why you really do need to get into a program of scripture memory and meditation. You really do. Now, what else do we need to know about God's helmet of salvation? Well, first of all, it is a defensive weapon. It sure is. It protects your mind from the devil's prolonged and continuous attacks designed to wear you out, right? We talked about all of that. But it's also an offensive weapon. How so? Well, you see, when a strong knowledge of your salvation is wrapped around your mind, you will never again fall prey to the devil's deceptive tactics. You will both be able to stand against the devil and to move and take back ground you've already given up. You can stand and advance in your confidence in the complete soundness of your mind. Your confidence in your divine protection, your healing, and your wholeness, to include your financial healing and wholeness, by the way, okay? Well, listen, when you choose to pick up, put on, and walk in God's helmet of salvation, well, you're going to begin to think as God thinks. You're going to begin to reason as God reasons, believe as God believes, and act like God acts. Do not underestimate the importance of filling your mind with the proper understanding and knowledge of your salvation. Listen, my friends, salvation, it is a powerful, powerful piece of weaponry. If it is allowed to function correctly in your life, it will defend your mind from every mental attack the enemy might ever wage against you. And by the way, again, when you wrap the knowledge of your salvation around your brain and you let it begin to protect your mind, well, you're going to begin to become transformed. And you're no longer going to think and talk as an individual who is constantly sick. Listen, you're never going to walk through life like an individual who is constantly defeated. And you will no longer think and act as someone who is consistently poor. Now remember, all of this, the helmet of God's salvation is part of God's gift to you. He full well intends for you and for me to reach out our hands, receive it, thank Him for it, and then trust His Holy Spirit to show us how to use it. Oh, wow. God's helmet of salvation. What a fantastic piece of God's spiritual armor. All right? Next time, we're going to dig deeply for just a bit into His sword of the Spirit. And I promise you, it's going to be a great time. So do not miss it. During our question and answer time today, let's continue to talk about borrowing and debt. Now recall that we've already discovered that although the Bible clearly does not prohibit borrowing, it is absolutely clear that the Lord would have us adopt a debt-free mentality rather than a debt-first mentality, right? And to help highlight this debt-free mentality, I've got a great question for you today. And here's the question. Listen to the question. My family income exceeds $150,000 a year, 10 times what I earned when I started my career 10 years ago. Yet it seems that every month we go further and further into debt. Bob, is this normal with high-income families? Oh, my goodness. Well, to respond to this and to share with all of our radio audience here, let me share a picture that was originally painted by Larry Burkett. And most of you remember the name Larry Burkett, one of the very first Bible teachers when it came to finances. And I worked with the organization a whole number of years ago. And one day, Larry met with a couple, and they were having a financial problem. Every time Larry met with a couple, it was because they were having a financial problem. And he asked them, as he always did, as we always do, tell me, what do you think your problem is? And this couple answered. And remember, this was a great number of years ago, okay? But they answered, they simply said, we don't make enough money. Our total income is only about $15,000 a year, and that is not enough to live on in this area. Well, Larry gave them a budget form to fill out and had them write down everything that they were spending. And sure enough, after they filled out the form, they found everybody agreed $15,000 was not enough to support their lifestyle. So what did he do? He gave them some homework, sent them on their way. All right. Are you beginning to see a trend here? Well, true story. One last couple came in, and they had said that they earned $75,000 a year in income, and it wasn't enough to live on. And this was verified by the budget forms that they filled out. You know, they took the homework and they left the office. Now, what lesson can we learn from these decade-old counseling sessions? My friend, the truth is, the amount of money that you make really isn't relevant. You know, what is relevant is the amount of money that you choose to spend. And that is why high-income families end up in debt, as well as low-income families end up in debt. You know, there was a time when we had a professional athlete come in for counseling some time back, and this gentleman was making millions of dollars a year. He was still going deeply into debt. And he was only a couple of years out of college playing pro ball. And during that last year of school, he said that he was living on, listen, $2,500 a year, 2 years ago. And how did he do that? You asked him, how did you do that? He said, well, that's all I had, right? And by the way, nobody would lend him any money at the time because he was in such a low income bracket. So you see, my friend, it is not the amount or the value that is important to God. We have talked about that. It is not the amount of money that you make that is important to God. What is important to God is your understanding and application of God's principles of wealth and stewardship. Remember, it is not about how much money you make. It is about prayerful self-discipline and the part that you want to give God to play in the process. That is what is important to God. And like we talked about last time, how are you going to give the Lord the role to play that He wants to play in your finances? Well, you can do several things. There's help available to you. For example, you can contact Crown Financial Ministries at www.crown.org. You can get a hold of the Dave Ramsey folks at daveramsey.com. Or you can even begin to discover financial freedom God's way through all of the seminars and workshops and Dave Ramsey coaching that's available through us, through Christian Financial Ministries, from our Chattoog Ministry and Events Center in Hiawassee. And by the way, another thing you can do is to keep tuning into WJRB FM 95.1, right? You can check out all of our services at www.christianfinancialministries.org. The bottom line is, remember, it is not about how much money you make. It is about how much money you spend. Let's do something new for just a minute, okay? What I would like to do right now is to pass along to you a good positive shout out to one of our local businesses. Okay, now right up front, let me say that our shout outs, well, they're never going to be directed to those folks and businesses who donate to help make this program and our other ministry services available. That's not going to happen. It just wouldn't be right. Now, we are going to mention those folks during our 30 and 60 second radio spots during, you know, promotional spots during the week, but they're never going to happen as part of a shout out during our 30-minute radio program, okay? We want to avoid even the perception of self-interest here as we do a shout out. So yes, when my wife and I receive a whole lot more than we expect from some local business, well, we're going to pass it on to you as a way to help support our local economy. Okay? Now, you're never going to hear the negative experience that we have, and we do have some. We're just going to share with you the outstanding experiences that we enjoy. For example, I have to tell you, just set a little bit of background here. I have to tell you that when Debbie and I moved to the Lake Chattu area about, oh my goodness, it's been about 4 years ago, we wanted to be able to enjoy Lake Chattoog and all of the other lakes around here as well. We wanted to buy a pontoon boat to be able to enjoy with our family on the local lakes. However, boy, I tell you what, we were in for a very surprise and a rude awakening when we started shopping around for a new or even a good used pontoon. Everything that we found, well, it was well beyond what we could afford. Now, one day, my daughter and I, while we were looking at boats, I ran into a guy by the name of Rex Thayer at the Freedom Boat Club, which operates out of the marina in Young Harris. Now, the result? Well, we are now members of the Freedom Boat Club, and we have access to all kinds of new boats of all kinds, almost any time we want to, at a very, very affordable price, okay? It's a great deal. But listen, what makes this an exceptionally good deal for my family is the quality of the boats that they have in their inventory and even more importantly, the absolutely outstanding customer service my wife and family and I have received from Rex and his entire team. They are always friendly, always smiling, always seeking to serve, always willing to go above and beyond to make sure that every time we set a boat out on the lake, it's a tremendously enjoyable experience. They take above and beyond to the max. So, the first of what I hope are going to be many shout-outs to local businesses, well, it goes to Rex Thayer and his team at the Freedom Boat Club at the marina in Young Harris. Way to go, Rex, and thanks again. Now, let's start to wrap up our time together today with one of the highlights of all of our times together. Let's spend a minute with Maxwell, as John Maxwell gives us his thoughts on being teachable. He shares his thoughts on being coachable. Let's hear from John Maxwell in a minute with Maxwell.
Hi there, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I'd like to talk to you on the principle of being coachable. Or I may even use another term here because it's really the same, being teachable. You see, a person that is coachable or teachable, the characteristic of that is the fact that they want to learn. And the key is they want to learn. When I look at a person and I try to determine what their capacity is as a leader, how far can they go, how much can they do, I sometimes look at their ability. And that will help and tell me a lot because what they've accomplished in their past tells me at least what they can accomplish in the present, and I can build off of that. But the question is more than just what is their ability and what have they done. The question is, what is their attitude? You see, when I look at a person, I have to ask myself, can she do this and will she do this? Can is all about ability and will is all about attitude. And a person that's coachable, a person that's teachable, they not only do the will, they do the can. They do them both. They have the ability and they have the attitude. And there's nothing that takes you and helps you reach your potential more than to utilize both. I've known people that didn't have the ability, but they had a great attitude, and so you love them, but they could only go so far. I've known people that had great ability, but they didn't have the teachable spirit and attitude, and so therefore they could have gone a long way, but they go only a short way. But when a person has both, then all of a sudden, things begin to change. I wrote a book several years ago called Talent is Never Enough, and the reason I wrote the book is because there are a lot of talented people, but they're not coachable. They're not teachable. And because of that, they put a limit on what they are able to do. What I've discovered about a teachable, coachable person is this. They're not only a joy to work with, but they will maximize and utilize every opportunity and every door for personal growth in their life. So the question of how far you can go, how far can I go, how much can we accomplish, what can we do? That question really goes back to how coachable are we? You see, I'm 70 today, and I'm still learning. Why am I still learning? Because I want to learn. I want to be taught. I want to be coached. I want you. I want somebody to walk into my life and share with me how I can be better, how I can do more, how can I go farther, how can I expand my potential. It's the extra plus in personal growth. Beyond ability, coachability will take you further than anything else. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, what another great teaching. What I hear John saying is that if we are teachable, if we are coachable, then we are folks who want to learn and to become more productive. And this is so important in today's world because we need more people who are willing to adapt and strive to become better stewards, to become better managers of all that the Lord places into their hands. My friends, financial freedom God's way is possible right now for you and even for others through you if you are willing to be teachable, if you are willing to be coachable, to learn, apply, and pass on what the Bible has to say about money. Oh, wow. Wow. Being teachable, being coachable, what a timely minute with Maxwell. Okay, well, that just about wraps up our time together again for today. And where have we been? Well, recall that we started out by taking a look at the fifth piece of financial spiritual armor, which, of course, is God's helmet of salvation. And we learned that when you choose to pick up and to put on and then to walk in your helmet of salvation, you're going to begin to think as God thinks and reason as God reasons and believe and even act as God acts. My friend, we are not to underestimate the defensive and offensive importance of filling our minds with the proper understanding and knowledge of our salvation. Salvation is a powerful piece of weaponry. Then during our Q&A time together, we learned that what is important is not so much what we make, the amount that we make, but the amount that we choose to spend. The bottom line is that no matter how much or how little your income should always exceed your outgo. Now you also learned that you may need some help to get from where you are to where you need to be in that area. And we told you that you could give, you know, Crown a call, Dave Ramsey a call. And, of course, you could even check us out, Christian Financial Ministries, all of our seminars and workshops, and even our Dave Ramsey coaching. And by the way, you can even get some help from John Maxwell, right? recall that he just told us if we do want to move from where we are to where the Lord wants us to be in any area of our life, to include our financial life, well, then we need to know what it is like to be teachable and to be coachable. Our Minute with Maxwell centered this time around on being teachable and coachable. Well, my friend, I want to thank you for being with us again today. Thank you so much. Now, remember to check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries, all spelled out, .org. Now, last thing that we're going to do, we're going to close in prayer. Father God, thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, what we want you to do is have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.